This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
One of the funniest parts of the book is where he claims that the president doesn't know who Boehner is. He was golfing with
John
Boehner.
Well, he tweeted out five times before.
Shorty's golfing with him. You don't golf this guy. Yeah. I mean, listen, the book is, this is, I'm not even going to say it's National Enquirer stuff, because the National Enquirer occasionally got things right, like the John Edwards story. So they're actually like, the National Enquirer is a level above this book. But let me just tell you the inside story. Here's what's really going on with this book, and here's why the media needs this book to be true. The Democrats are panicking right now, Sean, and Kaylee, I know, feels the same way about this. The tax cuts have them running for the hills. They thought it was going to flame out like Obamacare, and it didn't. They thought the failure of the tax cut plan was going to empty Trump's political bank account. Once his political bank account, his political capital was empty, they were going to move to impeach. Now that doesn't look likely. They know he's moving with a conservative agenda that's now going to work because the economy's turning around and they're panicking. That's where the book comes in. It provides a basis for round two, which is the 25th Amendment, that he's mentally unstable,
okay,
which
we'll
is quite possibly the dumbest narrative I've ever heard.
Well, Don Vangino talking about the hysteria that continues to reverb, but it's quieting down a little bit, Scott. I think that because it just, you know, it's like one of those things, again, you know, what the Democrats do, they throw everything they can against the wall, and here it is, this book that they would only hope could be true, and got them all excited, and Joy Behar and everybody, and Whoopi, going crazy over this book, high-fiving, thinking, oh, wow, this is terrific, you know, this is just adds more credibility to, you know, their perceived vision and idea of Donald Trump being some sort of dementia-laden knucklehead. But here he is that, I mean, if they're saying that about the president, what is that saying about Main Street America? What is that saying about the 63 million people that voted for Donald Trump? Because we're all crazy, you know? Because I mean, to me, what's crazy is that we're $20 trillion in debt. We have this this bloated government that continues to operate ineffectively, laden with fraud and waste and ineffectiveness, and they're utilizing the people's money to do this. That, to me, that's insane.
Well, yeah, that would that sounds pretty insane to me. And to be fair, there are some people I've seen some hosts on like CNN and mm-hmm. Some of the more anti-Trump networks, they're even calling out this guy on mm-hmm. stuff. I believe CNN's morning show the other day, you know, the female host, I forget her name, but she was hey, this isn't adding up, you know, what's going on here, and
well, they got to know. And Scott, it's just like when, you know, your son comes to you and says, everybody's doing something. You know, right there, that all credibility goes out the door there.
Well,
you know.
But the thing that's heartening about that is that maybe the hosts themselves are starting to turn that corner of, you know, not everything this guy does is bad. Maybe I should start actually looking at it and critiquing it for what it is, not what you know I'm supposed to think it is.
Well, how do you respond? I mean, you sit there and you continue to say the guy's a knucklehead and he's, you know, he's on the road to dementia or, you know, lacking some sort of mental acuity. But look at the stock market. Look at the facts, Jack. What's going on here? Unemployment rate, our standing internationally, our national security on the rise. What's happening militarily? We're going to be talking with Michael Rubin here, former Pentagon official, in just a moment. Talk about the Syrian policy. What's going on with North Korea? You know, we're having incredible gains going on. And I mean, if that's crazy, you know, as Dr. John Zemerich said, give me more of that crazy, I guess. You know, why not have things be better and not only America wins, but the world wins. What a novel concept here in these heated, crazy political times. To me, that's crazy. This is Bill Martinez. We're live. Stay right where you are. Michael Rubin, as promised, coming up next.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop me. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
It is 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. And if you are so inclined, always love to hear from you. You can drop me an email. It comes to me direct. NSA approved, by the way. Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. As promised, Michael Rubin joins us now, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute, former Pentagon official. Happy New Year's, Michael. How are you?
Happy New Year's to you too, Bill. It's great to be with you.
Hey, lots to cover here. Boy, a lot of moving parts, and I want to go around the horn here, take advantage of your insight with all that is the Middle East and Syria, the president's Syrian policy, North and South Korea meeting, the Russian episode continues. So let's start with President Trump. I mean, what he's done in Syria, he is, it looks like this new Syrian policy has been quite a boon. I think it will be very positive, not only for America, but certainly for the locals.
Well, I think it's a little bit too soon to say that, or a little too soon to be optimistic on Syria. Mm-hmm. What Trump has done differently is really loosen the rules of engagement, which have allowed us to go after the Islamic State when there are targets of opportunity. Under President Obama, he sort of tried to manage things with an 8,000-mile screwdriver, where someone in the White House, usually a 28-year-old National Security Council staffer, would have to give an approval every time a wanted terrorist came into the sights of, for example, a Predator drone. That's no longer the case, and we have them on the run. Mm-hmm. So that's very positive. That said, while it's easy to imagine that diplomacy can fix Syria, the fact of the matter is Russia is still as entrenched in there as it's always been. One of the problems we're not talking about so much is with these de-escalation zones. Iran has managed to establish itself right on the borders of Israel, and that creates a problem down the road.
Exactly. Well, stay with me for just a moment on Syria, because, again, I want to be optimistic about what's going on here. And I think any time you have a policy that promotes the local establishment, the local people being involved in taking control of their own liberty, I think goes a long way. And this is the way I'm seeing this. Am I seeing this right?
I think you are seeing this right. Certainly, Trump has expressed willingness to deal with reality. The problem with a lot of the diplomacy with regard to Syria over the course of the Obama administration is that many of the people who were negotiating in the luxury hotels in Istanbul or the diplomatic boardrooms in Astana, Kazakhstan, or Geneva, Switzerland, didn't really have any control of the events on the ground. And so what they were doing was basically a theoretical exercise, not much different than a high school model UN in their ability to change things. Now Trump is dealing with the hard issues, for example, Kurdish control of broad swaths of Syria, which Turkey objects to, Russia being on the ground. That doesn't make it easy to come to a situation, but to a solution. But the fact of the matter is, it's always healthier to deal with reality.
I was going to say, we're in a better position now than we were previously, right?
Well, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, the fact of the matter is the Islamic State is defeated. Mm-hmm. That said, Bashar al-Assad isn't a panacea. Some people say he could bring stability, that the opposition were all radicals. But remember, we wouldn't have had the Syrian civil war if Bashar al-Assad was half as competent as some of his promoters suggest.
Yeah, it is amazing that Bashar al-Assad is still in play here. But he's got to be headed to The Hague at some point, don't you think?
Well, I mean, this is one of the problems we have with international human rights, in that if people talk about him heading to The Hague, that just gives him incentive never to step down. Mm-hmm. And there's a moral argument on both sides of that. I'm not saying there's an easy answer to that. But the more the international tribunals in The Hague talk about trying people, the less likely you are to have any peaceful settlement to the civil wars in which they're involved.
Michael, you brought up Israel a moment ago, but before we get into the dynamic of Iran encroaching the borders of Israel, let's talk more about Donald Trump's announcement that he was going to support what three other presidents have supported but did nothing about, and that is moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem.
Well, Donald Trump did what not only three previous presidents, but Congress has said that it wanted to do. And it's basically recognized reality. There's a lot of ironies about this. Russia condemned the United States at the United Nations after Trump announced the move. But the fact of the matter is, in April, several months before Trump announced the move, Russia had announced that it was recognizing Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Jerusalem is where Israel's parliament is. Mm-hmm. It's where Israel's presidency is. And it's where most of the ministries are, with the exception of defense and the headquarters of the intelligence service. And therefore, it makes sense. I mean, it's just reality. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel. Now, when it comes to the embassy of the United States, no one disputes Western Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So what's the big deal here? I mean, it's kind of arrogant to say we are not going to recognize where your capital is, even though it's not disputed areas. And on top of which, if there is an Arab-Israeli peace agreement, a Palestinian-Israeli peace agreement, Jerusalem is going to be the capital of Israel. That's not under dispute. So this simply, again, recognizes reality rather than tilting at windmills like the so-called sophisticated policymakers in Washington so often do.
And, of course, the president also announced in the last week or so that we've got some defunding of the Palestinians. I mean, the hundreds of millions of dollars that have been going to support the Palestinians that they've been, in a sense, using to pay for people who have killed Americans and Israelis.
Well, you're absolutely right there, Bill. There's a couple things here. Number one, it's against the law. It's against U.S. law for the Palestinians to use American aid money to pay the salaries or the pensions of terrorists. Mm-hmm. You know, United States aid money isn't an entitlement. There's something else Trump is doing, though, and that's withdrawing a good deal of aid from the United Nations Refugee Works Administration, often called by the acronym UNRWA. Mm-hmm. What a lot of people don't understand is when UNRWA was first founded, it was supposed to exist only 3 years. Now, we're talking that's more than 60 years ago. What a lot of people also don't understand is that the United Nations has a refugee program for the Palestinians and a refugee program for the rest of the world. What Donald Trump is saying when it comes to the funding of UNRWA, which has in the past allowed, for example, Hamas terrorists to hide weaponry in its schools and so forth, is that we're not going to fund UNRWA anymore. We're just going to work through the mainstream United Nations refugee program, and the Palestinians aren't going to get their own special agency anymore because it's hopelessly corrupt. That's not removing that's not removing money from the Palestinians. That's just simply saying, hey, look, you're not going to get any more special entitlements, and you're not going to be able to work through an agency which has proven itself hopelessly corrupt, dangerously so, and incapable of reform.
See, this is the difference when you have a businessman in the White House who understands and demands return on investment. You know, that investment of the people's money, Main Street America, investing in world peace and things that are going to advance the peoples of other nations. Can we do it in a way that's win-win, and where we say, hey, look at this, this is a proper stewardship of the people's money, and heretofore it is gone without any kind of consideration in that ilk, right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right there. I mean, I'm not saying that everything Donald Trump does is wonderful. I certainly can be quite critical.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is he's approaching his job with a different perspective than his predecessors.
Michael Rubin is with us, former Pentagon official, resident scholar with the American Enterprise Institute. More from Michael on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and serve. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.
Message and data rates may apply.
Oh my gosh, that's Frank Thomas.
No.
Yes, that's him. Go ahead.
Excuse me, are you Frank Thomas?
Yes, I am.
I bet you get recognized a lot.
I was a pretty good ball player.
You were?
Some people thought so.
Sorry, we recognize you from those Nugenix commercials.
Oh yeah? That's great.
So does Nugenix really work?
Oh yeah, I really can feel the difference. My workouts are better, and I feel a lot more energetic.
I wish my husband would use Nugenix.
It's so easy to get started. All you have to do is send one simple text.
Text the word PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of award-winning Nugenix, the number one selling free testosterone booster at GNC. Its unique man-boosting formula is powered by Testofen, a patented key ingredient clinically researched to help a man feel stronger, leaner, more energetic, and more passionate.
And you're going to like the difference, too.
Text PRIME44 to 42424 for a complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Samples are not available in stores. Text PRIME44 to 42424.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding, unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze, containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck, or back, or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Some days I barely hold on. When life drags me down, I wanna let go.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
You rescue me and I believe that God is love and He is all I need from this day forth for all eternity. I'll never wander.
Live.
Hey, back just the way you like us. Fresh every day, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back. 19 minutes after the top of the hour, Michael Rubin is with us, resident scholar with the AEI and former Pentagon official, author of the celebrated book, Dancing with the Devil, The Perils of Engaging Rogue Regimes. Michael, let me say this at the start of this segment. I appreciate your balanced perspective, and I want people to understand that it's not like we're drinking the Donald Trump grape juice here. You know, we're trying to offset some of the fake news and some of the misinformation that's going out there. You know, I think all things considered, if we are about the United States of America, I would hope that we would find those things and focus on those things that unify this country. But that Donald Trump, like any other politician, whether it is a local official, political official, or a state senator or congressman, they need to be held accountable. And this is what this show's all about. And I appreciate your perspective and what you bring to the discussion, because it offers some reasonable balance that we're not sitting here just yelling and screaming and not, you know, giving our audience anything of value that advances the understanding of what's going on in our country.
Well, I mean, Bill, in general, I'm just not a magic formula guy in that if we had an easy answer to problems like Iran or North Korea or Syria, these would have been discovered a long time ago. And therefore, we need to recognize, and this is all that I'm saying, it doesn't all revolve around us, but sometimes it is useful to have a new perspective. And when it comes to Jerusalem, for example, the fact of the matter is a lot of the experts that were predicting gloom and doom have egg on their face because the Palestinians basically shrugged their shoulder, and there's no such thing as a spontaneous protest through much of the Arab world. It's only when the governments want there to be a protest, and the fact of the matter is we just need to call out such nonsense.
Exactly. Well, speaking of what's been going on in Iran, the people, it is a another kind of, you want to call it an Arab winter, maybe Arab spring, where the natives are getting restless here. But you're saying this is being orchestrated by the government? It's really not a legitimate outcry?
I specifically talked about in the Arab world. Mm-hmm. Iran, of course, isn't Arab. What we do have now is a spontaneous demonstration. But, you know, Bill, when you do have spontaneous demonstrations in the Middle East, whether it's in the Arab world or in Iran, they can often bring down the governments. If we look at the initial protests surrounding the Arab Spring, they brought down Hosni Mubarak in Egypt. They brought down Ben Ali in Tunisia. This is one of the reasons why so many countries don't usually allow spontaneous protests, because they know that once the protesters are on the street, they don't know how these protests could end.
Exactly.
All I'm saying is when we see an anti-American rally, don't assume that that's spontaneous.
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, from that standpoint, I would agree. Now, this rally that had been taking place in Iran that seems to be quieted down, do you think is that that's been quieted down to only resurrect itself on another day?
Well, first of all, I'm not so sure how much it's been quieted down. We're starting to see videos that have been smuggled out of the country in the wake of the Iranian government clampdown on the internet, meaning they've been uploaded in Beirut, they've been uploaded in Turkey, they've been uploaded in Iraq, and it seems to suggest that many of these protests are still continuing.
Mm-hmm.
That said, look, the reason why people are so angry is we think of the Revolutionary Guard just as a terrorist group, and make no mistake, it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it also controls 40% of Iran's economy. So if you're an ordinary Iranian worker and you're 6 months in arrears in getting your wages,
you have
no one to protest against. And that's why people are targeting the Revolutionary Guard, because they're the ones who are basically stealing the money. Mm-hmm. Now, I think this is a dry run for the future, because if the government does succeed in putting this down, but what happens when the supreme leader, Ali Khamenei, dies?
Mm.
And the fact of the matter is he's had cancer treatment. He's been photographed. If the Revolutionary Guard rallies around the supreme leader now, well, once he's removed, his funeral could be a time not of mourning, but celebration as people again rise up.
Exactly.
I think we're seeing the beginning of the end.
North and South Korea having talks. What is that telling us?
Well, you know, it's the same old story, really. And the fact of the matter is, every time North Korea feels the pressure, it puts out an olive branch to try to get that pressure relieved. And then ultimately the talks go nowhere. I don't think that Kim Jong-un has finally seen the light, What I do think is he's trying to take advantage of a Western sort of sense of diplomacy, and this extends to South Korea, where we get so excited about the prospects for dialogue that we're willing to remove all the coercion first, not recognizing that what North Korea wants is not a solution, a peace, an agreement on how to get to yes. All they want is that short-term relief. And once they've replenished their stocks, they're just going to be as
back to business as usual.
As they've always been.
Yep, exactly. That's what I'm concerned about. Because that has been the pattern. Do you think this administration will do it different?
Well, this administration has prided itself on being unpredictable, and to some extent it's worked. That said, I don't think this administration is going to give North Korea a bunch of incentives, hundreds of millions of dollars, increased fuel oil. There's been talk that North Korea wants a temporary lifting of the sanctions. Well, that's a UN issue. United Nations Resolution 2270 further strengthened the sanctions. It banned export of gold, titanium, and rare earth metals, which North Korea could use. I don't think we're going to do that.
Mm-hmm. So these sanctions, the point of all this, the sanctions are working.
The sanctions are working to the degree that any sanctions work. The important thing to remember with sanctions is, again, not a magic formula. The whole is always greater than the sum of the parts. And when you have a strategy that contains diplomacy, it contains an informational aspect to it, for example, putting Iran, North Korean aspects in the right context, radio, broadcasting, and so forth. It includes economic pressure. It includes military coercion. That tends to be what's working. But the fact of the matter is, while North Korea is reaching out to South Korea ahead of the Olympics, at the same time, there's been word that it's preparing a new missile launch area. So we got to be careful.
Without a doubt. Going back to what we mentioned earlier, and that is Iran coming to the border of Israel. Break that down for our audience.
Well, when I say Iran coming to the border of Israel, what I really mean is Hezbollah, which is Iran's chief proxy. Mm-hmm. But we have had Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps people show up on the border. The problem is this. The Trump administration embraced something called deconfliction zones, which were basically sort of safe havens. And they said that the United States shouldn't be there, Russia shouldn't be there, Bashar al-Assad's forces shouldn't be there, in any military forces and so forth. What they omitted, however, was mention of Iran, and it may have been an honest omission, but the fact is the Islamic Revolutionary Guard has seized control of this and has started operating. This Israel finds very, very provocative, especially since Hezbollah now has 150,000 missiles aimed at Israel. And it seems that the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps is working on smuggling more to Hezbollah using these deconfliction zones. It's a problem down the horizon.
So all this has become Israel's problem? There's no UN support on this?
Well, the United Nations passed Bill, if we really want to look at it, the Lebanese Civil War ended in 1989 and under something called the Taif Accords, which came into effect in 1992. And they said that all Lebanese groups should, aside from the army, should dismantle their weaponry. Hezbollah refused. And we've had any number of Security Council resolutions since, especially back in 2006 after the Israel-Hezbollah war, which demanded that Hezbollah disarm. But the fact of the matter is they haven't, and quite the contrary, the Islamic Republic of Iran seems to be smuggling ever more lethal goods, and this is happening under the watchful eyes of the United Nations. Look, when you put a bunch of the United Nations peacekeepers from Nepal, from Fiji, from Pakistan in a place like this, they're collecting salaries, but they're not going to rock the boat. They're not going to go into a conflict with Hezbollah. So it just becomes a way, again, for the international community, for the United Nations, to kick the can down the road diplomatically.
Exactly. Michael Rubin, we got to leave it right there. Thank you so much for being with us. Michael Rubin, former Pentagon official.
Money, money, money. You got to have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645, 888-794-1645, 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. 99 bucks for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look. And I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here.
Oh, you need freedom, Savior. He's a prison-shaking Savior. You got chains. Oh, he's a chain-breaker.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, thank you for joining in on the good fight to pursue the truth no matter where it leads. Bill Martinez here at 28 minutes before the top of the hour. Going to be talking with the CEO's coach, the one and only David Rolander, a little bit about his background. Professional speaker, executive coach and author, fighter pilot in the U.S. Air Force, founder and CEO of 3 companies, best-selling author, The CEO Code, The Idiot's Guide to Management Skills. Also had some time with Peter Drucker. And, David, after some time with Peter Drucker, your brain didn't explode, huh?
No, but I'll tell you, that was one of the most stimulating gentlemen I've ever known.
Yeah, I bet. I've read so much of Peter Drucker, but to be around it is, I guess it is, his footsteps to... just to hear him directly had to just be a golden opportunity for you.
Yeah, it was great. His writing is much better than his speaking, but I lived in Germany and speak a little German, so it wasn't a problem. But a lot of people had difficulty because of his speaking was not nearly as incredible as his writing. But an amazing intellect, very, very big worldview.
Well, you know, as a coach to CEOs, and I've had the opportunity in my marketing company as well to work with CEOs across the country, and one of the things that I have stressed that is most important is that the number one job is to beat the drum of the mission, to let people know what the vision of the company is. And Donald Trump, in his... in his pattern, informing pattern as the classic CEO, continues to do that and uses the tweeting platform, much to the dismay of the mainstream media that says they're not controlling the headlines anymore.
Well, that's exactly right. I agree with you 100%. And that is the magic, I think, of what he's doing, is that he's going directly to the people. You know, any survey you've ever seen of customer service and all, when they're trying to solve customer service problems within an organization or for retailers, or you find that having that the most important ingredient is to get back to the customer immediately or as quickly as possible. And that's what his tweets he does. He gets to the people immediately. They don't have to go through five meetings and 16 opinions of all of his, you know, minions that work for him. Mm-hmm. He goes directly to the people. He tells them immediately what he thinks, even if they don't agree. He's doing it immediately, and he's showing a responsiveness and a concern that we haven't seen in a long, long time.
David, what do you make of some of this stuff? I think it's self-amusement on his part when he throws out some of these tweets that just creates brain damage. I mean, you know, they're talking about Trump's, you know, mental capacity, but he's definitely disturbed the mental capacity of the mainstream media.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah, you know, he's a pretty bright fellow. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. He's very bright, and he's very clever. He's, you know, he's what we call, and you're probably familiar with the term, so are your listeners, he's street smart.
Mm-hmm.
He really understands how to make things happen in the street. And because of that, what he'll do is he'll talk like the street. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of CEOs, but I've also worked with janitors and receptionists and people that are at the bottom of the totem pole when it comes to hierarchy within an organization. And one of the things that I prided myself in, and this isn't about me, it's about the other things, but is being able to get down where they live. And he does that. Trump does that. He's able to get down where people live and talk to them where they live. Most of the politicians that you see, they're disconnected, or at least people feel they're disconnected.
Right. And it's amazing that you have a gazillionaire like Donald Trump living in the ivory towers everywhere he lives, that he would be able to relate to the everyman the way he does.
Well, you know what's interesting? My wife and I went to the movies the other day and saw The Darkest Hour, the one about Churchill.
Yes, exactly.
The two guys were trying, Neville Chamberlain and Lord Halifax, were trying to sue for peace, and they wanted to negotiate with Hitler. And Winston didn't want to do that. He didn't think that was right, but he was so frustrated and things were going so badly. There's a scene in the movie where he jumps out of his ride, his taxi, or, you know, his driver, and he disappears, and he goes down into the tube, into the subway, and he starts talking to the people, and they're just shocked. They don't know it. They can't believe that the prime minister is down there talking to him. But he asks them, you know, point blank, okay, I'm the prime minister. Tell me, what is it you want me to do? What do you want? And figuratively, that's what Trump does. He gets down and he knows what the people want. Mm-hmm. And that's what Winston Churchill did. And that's why they didn't give up.
It really is a gift, isn't it, David? I mean, you work with a lot of CEOs, and so you run the whole panoply of characteristics and giftings of different CEOs, but they're a unique breed, those type of CEOs that can relate to the common man.
And you know what I think the you say it's a gift, I'm sure that that's part of it, but what I find is when they're totally comfortable, or, you know, nearly 100%, let's say 99% comfortable with who they are, and they're not trying to prove something, then they are able to do that. There was a special on about Charles Krauthammer. Mm. And Krauthammer talks about the time in the interview. He talks about the time he was with Ronald Reagan. And he asked him a very profound question. And Reagan started talking about, you know, a squirrel or a butterfly or some crazy thing. And, oh, look, there's a spider on the wall or whatever. And he said, it just really bothered me. I thought, this guy's nuts. And then I realized he didn't really care what Krauthammer thought about him. He didn't want to answer that particular question, so he changed the subject.
Exactly.
And Trump is that way. You know, he doesn't care because he's comfortable in his own skin.
Well, I think this is one of the admirable traits that Trump communicated to the common man, and that is that he's not beholden. I mean, we have been historically laden with politicians that are beholden to to K Street and to other special interests that the voice of the everyman had been muzzled. And Trump is not beholden to these people. He's not beholden to these the typical establishment and operatives that have dictated administrations of our historical past.
And that's part of the reason why they're so resistant. Everybody is so resistant to him. It's not because they disagree with his philosophy as much as they're afraid for their own skin.
Mm-hmm. Well,
they really are.
And also, it's got to be rather annoying, David, that here you've got somebody, a non-politician. I mean, he didn't work his way up. I mean, he came from, you know, hosting a reality show, being a multi-billionaire businessman, very successful, and he finds himself in the Oval Office. That's just not fair, according to the ruling elites.
Yeah, I feel sorry for him. It's a shame. Because, they try to buy their way up, or they do this, or they do that. I don't want to go into it, but I've known a lot of politicians over the years, and unfortunately, it's very hard to respect them because they're not authentic. One of the things that Trump is, like him or hate him, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. He's authentic. He is who he is. He's not playing games. I mean, he banties and all that, but what he says, he means. He's real.
Mm-hmm. Well, unlike the psychologists who are out there that are breaking every rule that was supposedly established ever since Goldwater, not to offer any kind of psychiatric therapy at a distance of a non-patient. In this particular case, you're the CEO's coach, and this has got to be right in your wheelhouse. So what is your prescription for Donald Trump?
Well, I do think there's room for improvement. He's not at all perfect.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I would suggest is that he have a little higher regard for other people, that he not belittle and criticize unnecessarily other people by being belittling. That's just demeaning, and it doesn't show respect, and that's not going to lead to any good.
And maybe even somebody who has a nuclear button himself, maybe? Just
but
saying.
You can put somebody in jail, you can spank somebody, you can do whatever it is, but you do not have to insult and belittle them.
I'm with you on that.
Respect for them as human beings.
David, we got to leave it there. Thank you so much for being with us. Communication expert David Rolander, best-selling author and professional speaker. Thank you, David.
When did your light bulb go off? We're talking about that idea you have for a new product or app. Listen, if you want to make your idea a priority, but you don't know how to get it off the ground, you call Davison, the one company with over 25 years experience and exclusive process that turns ideas into products and apps that are found in retail stores and online. Our team has helped tens of thousands of people, just like you. Call now and ask for our free idea starter guide. We'll show you how to securely get started and protect your idea. Whether you have a patent or not, our process will get your idea ready to get in front of a corporation. Don't let your light bulb of an idea go out. Call Davison now for your free idea starter guide. Davison charges fees for services. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. 800-211-8392. Again, that's 800-211-8392.
Are you struggling with serious emotional and physical illness? Do you know someone who is? The book Yeshua Prescription is now available at ChristianHealingOils.com, along with sacred anointing oil formulated directly from the Bible. Based on the healing techniques and teachings of Jesus and the Scriptures, this book provides a step-by-step guide for healing all facets of life, including health, relationships, abuse, addictions, betrayal, and more. Author Elise Monet takes you on a deep journey into truth and surrender, two of the primary keys to unlocking Jesus' power in your life by applying her AAA healing system and Christian healing oils. The miracles of Jesus come alive within you, healing mind, body, and spirit. The Yeshua Prescription is available today for only $14.95 and sacred Christian healing oils for $24.95 per 10 milliliter bottle. For a limited time, go to ChristianHealingOils.com and receive free shipping with every order. That's ChristianHealingOils.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria, from totally neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
If you're talking, they will hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
Hear you. You can do it if you try.
We better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
Bill Martinez.
Hey, it's Wade Likely, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, coming at you live and independent, 14 before the top of the hour right now. Phil Kirpin joins us. He's the president of American Commitment. A little background on American Commitment, which is led by Phil, a leading free market policy analyst and advocate in Washington prior to joining American Commitment. Phil was the principal policy and legislative strategist at Americans for Prosperity for over 5 years, previously worked at the Free Enterprise Fund, the Club for Growth, and the Cato Institute. He is a nationally syndicated columnist, chairman of the Internet Freedom Coalition, and author of the 2011 book, Democracy Denied. American Commitment is designed to fill the capabilities gap between think tanks engaged in pure public policy work and grassroots organizations engaged in mobilizing citizens activists. Phil, we appreciate all the great work that American Commitment is rendering on behalf of the people, and we cheer you on and appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, I want to talk about net neutrality. What is going on? Update our audience and what's happening. We're not hearing a whole lot about this, what we are hearing is a bit of mixed messages. So give us the facts. What's happening?
Well, you know, for two decades between 1996 and 2015, we had a bipartisan consensus in this country that the Internet should be very lightly regulated, basically a free market, and that the government would take a hands-off approach and kind of see what developed. And mm-hmm. I would argue that that was one of the most successful policy decisions in the history of the country, and I give the Clinton administration and the FCC chairman at the time, Bill Kennard, a lot of credit for saying, mm-hmm. look, we're not going to use the old-fashioned, heavy-handed telephone system regulation to strangle this new technology in its infancy. And that became the consensus, and it worked very, very well for two decades. 2 years ago, it completely changed. In 2015, at the urging of the Obama White House, the FCC adopted an order reclassifying the Internet essentially as a public utility, applying 1934 regulations designed for the old Ma Bell phone system for the Internet, the most heavy-handed model of regulation possible, where any business model, any product or service could be arbitrarily banned by the FCC Enforcement Bureau, and any investment decision would have to be, basically investors would say, hey, have you got FCC approval yet for what you want to do, because otherwise I'm not putting money in. And what we've seen over the 2 years that was in effect was a significant decrease in investment from trend, about 5% across the across the internet industry, and about 16% in wireless, which is very concerning because we're looking at about a $300 billion cost to deploy fifth generation wireless, which is going to bring, you know, gigabit speeds wirelessly. It's going to be a real revolution, a true substitute for wireline for many people as well. It's going to bring a lot more competition, and you know, if that investment is falling instead of rising, you've got a policy problem. And the new FCC under President Trump agreed that we had a policy problem, and they voted last month to reclassify the internet back to the way it was from 1996 to 2015 to reverse that public utility designation. And the left and the media went crazy that this means that the evil phone and cable companies are going to start blocking what website you can go to and censoring the internet and causing all kinds of mischief. There's really no reason to believe such a thing would ever happen, because a company that did something like that would have a massive PR nightmare, would probably provoke a government intervention, even if there's no rule on the books, and more to the point, would lose customers in droves to their competitors. And if they actually tried to do some of the things that people are talking about with doing an exclusive deal and blocking competitors or something like that, that would be an antitrust violation, and that would still be illegal under the Clayton Act and the Sherman Act. So there are a lot of reasons that these sort of nightmare scenarios would never happen, and yet we've seen an unprecedented level of vitriol from the left, multiple death threats against the FCC chairman, bomb threats against his kids, all kinds of, you know, showing up at his house, scaring his kids, 3 and 5 years old, by the way. Just totally disgusting behavior from the left. And unfortunately, we haven't really seen any prominent Democrats condemn any of it. They want to try to stoke it for political advantage. And it's just all bizarre and totally insanely blown out of proportion, because none of the scenarios they're talking about, as, you know, the phone and cable companies destroying the internet or whatever, you know, we went back to a policy that was literally in effect for 20 years.
Well, I was going to say, where's the
going to happen? It would have happened.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. The empirical evidence is already laid out. If that would have been the case, we'd already seen signs of that occurring in the previous years, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they literally restored the policy that was in place from 1996 to 2015 in this order.
Yes. And one that was supported by Democrats and was bipartisan.
Yeah, it was actually established during the Clinton administration. Yeah. His chairman of the FCC, Bill Kennard, had a, you know, very powerful statement back then in 1996 that basically said, look, we don't know where this technology is going, but it doesn't make any sense to take the old regulations from the telephone world and try to impose them on it. And that was a very intelligent decision, in my judgment.
Exactly. Yeah, without a doubt. And then look what's happened. As you say, leading up to 2015, things were rolling along. You know, everything looked pretty bright. And then in typical form, and this is where people need to understand what, you know, the Democratic Party and the policies that they want to enact, it's choking off the free enterprise system. You know, time and again, they do things to hinder the process, not to promote it. And, you know, and what I think that people are waking up to is that we have an administration that's all about liberty. It's all about freedom and the free enterprise system and the free market. And it is refreshing. And for some people, you know, this is a novel concept, isn't it?
It's you know, we've never seen an administration quite like this in terms of the aggressive deregulation we're seeing across the economy and the confidence in the free market to solve problems without government micromanaging. You know, at the beginning of last year, President Trump issued an executive order that required agencies to eliminate two old regulations for every one new one that was put on the books. They issued a report last month at the end of the year summarizing how they had done, whether they had met that target. And, Bill, they actually ended up eliminating 22 regulations for every one they put on the books. Mm-hmm. They beat it by a factor, you know, they had to beat their goal by a factor of 11 times better. And so we've never seen this sort of aggressive deregulation before. And, you know, the left is howling and screaming that all these horrible things are going to happen if we don't have all kinds of centralized regulation. But the truth is, we have far, far too many regulations on the books at almost all of these federal agencies, which is not to say that you don't need any regulation, but when you have too many and you're trying to micromanage every aspect of everything, you actually end up with pretty poor enforcement of the rules that you actually do need, the basic mm-hmm. health and safety and environmental rules and so forth. Because what happens is, you know, at the EPA, for instance, they spend all their time writing new rules all the time.
Right.
When they should have, the few simple rules we actually need and spend their time enforcing them. And so the whole mentality at all of these federal agencies has gotten away from enforcing the few sensible necessary rules that we should have towards just writing more new rules all the time. And
yeah,
that imposes an enormous cost on everyone. It also undermines the ability to actually have, sensible rules enforced, because they're all spending all their time writing new rules. And so I think this pullback and this sort of, we're going to undo basically almost everything that was done in the Obama years, which I think is what this president was elected to do, and he's off to an incredible start in the first year in terms of regulation. And then I think we really need to fix the process going forward. And what I mean by that is federal agencies, unelected bureaucrats, should not be empowered to make all of the most important economic decisions in this country without our elected officials weighing in on it.
Exactly.
And we really need to fix the process. There's a bill we've been pushing for the last decade or so called the RAINS Act
mm-hmm.
That would require a vote in Congress approving any economically significant regulations before they could take effect. And then, Congress can make bad decisions. We know that. But at least then you'd know exactly who to hold accountable.
Well, you've got some oversight there. I mean, this thing's been running wickedly out of control when you have non-elected bureaucrats making decisions like this. And, what has happened there for a while is that they almost perceive themselves as hammers. If they perceive themselves as hammers, everything else they see is a nail that they need to pound. And, of course, this all grew out when, if you listen to what President Obama said when he told everybody, they didn't build it. There was no individual responsibility. It was all about central control. Really kind of odd coming from a CEO and president of the United States to hear that kind of statement. But that, in fact, is where they live, right?
Yeah, there was an article on the Vice website the other day. It's a liberal news website. I was just amazed because Republicans in Congress are offering to do legislation on this net neutrality issue. They want to resolve it once and for all. They don't want it moving back and forth with partisan control of the FCC. And they basically have said, and this is being led by Chairman Thune, the chairman of the Commerce Committee, has basically said, look, we agree with you that there should be, ISPs, phone and cable companies, shouldn't be allowed to block and throttle and, redirect you to their exclusive content or any of this sort of thing that the Democrats claim to be concerned about.
Mm.
We agree with you on that. What we do not agree with you on is turning the internet into a public utility using, old phone system regulations that
Right.
puts government in charge of every aspect of the network. So how about we do legislation that just, has maintains a light-handed regulatory approach overall, but just bans the blocking and throttling that you claim to be concerned about. And they say, well, so Republicans are offering to do that legislation. Well, Democrats are saying, absolutely not. No way. We won't do that. That's not a real solution. And there was this article the other day on Vice. It's amazing. There's this article the other day. I'm going to pull it up to read this to you.
Right.
So, but this is what it says.
We got about 30 seconds here, Bill. Okay, go ahead.
It says they want a law that contains so many loopholes as to be meaningless, yet prevents the FCC from crafting any real tough laws down the road. So in other words, the left is now arguing Congress should not do the job of legislating. Our elected legislators should not do the legislating, because that'll get in the way of unelected bureaucrats in the FCC at the future, writing real laws.
Exactly.
This is now what we're dealing with from the left.
Well, there it is. Phil Kirpin, president of the American Commitment. I'm Bill Martinez Live. Phil, happy new year. Thank you so much for being with us.
Same to you, Bill. Have a good one.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calben Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
It's an open